Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Tuesday. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. It's not really a start, just having a good day to this point, and we are very excited about this Friday. This Friday will be May 22nd. You say, okay, what's the significance of that? Well, that will be the three-year anniversary of the Predators punching their ticket into the Stanley Cup Final with the elimination of the Anaheim Ducks. So we are doing Game 6 Remastered, where we are chronicling the Predators' historic 2017 Western Conference title win against the Ducks. And we're going to start with a little bit at the beginning with the Blackhawks and then the Blues series, and then, of course, a bulk of this on the Anaheim Ducks series. And it is going to be fantastic. I've heard one segment of it, and I told Ryan Porth, who was putting all this together, our program director, if that's the way these 2 hours are going to sound, this is going to be a must-listen. Block your schedule out. On this show, we will unveil it starting at noon. Noon until 2 p.m., you will hear Game 6 Remastered. Pete Weber is going to give you the biggest moments of Game 6. You're going to hear his calls. We did interviews, Zoom interviews with players, David Poile, Sean Henry. And so you're going to hear from the organization from top to bottom about that historical run to the Stanley Cup Final. It all starts at noon. Right here on the show, you can listen right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game or The Game Nashville app. We bring in our good friend Scott Burnside from The Athletic. He now joins us. Scott, how you doing?
Doing very well, guys. I get all nostalgic thinking about that 17 run and that Western Conference Final, honestly. And I watched it from afar. I didn't cover it, but that was as hard a series as I've seen in a long time. Now, it wasn't classic. Like, it's not the best series I've seen in a long time. And it was hard as nails. Oh my gosh, that was a battle. I know it's an overwrought term, but that series was epic. So there you go. That's my lead into that.
Yeah, and Scott, as you heard me say, the three of us have been doing interviews for this Game 6 Remastered, and one of the players that I talked to was Ryan Johansson, and I talked to him about, you know, the different styles and how Chicago was more finesse and skill, and then St. Louis was going to be a much heavier and, you know, physical series. And I said that St. Louis series kind of helped you guys get prepared for the Anaheim series, right, because you knew it was going to be the same type of series. And he said, oh, no, that – it was not going to be the same type of series. And I said, oh, really? He said, no, we knew the Anaheim series was going to be a flat-out war. And it was pretty – he's like, you know, we knew we were going to have our hands full with, you know, Getzlaff and Kessler and those guys, that it was going to be even a crazier series. So, and it obviously played out that way as bodies were dropping left and right throughout the course of that series.
Yeah, I know we're going to talk return to play and stuff like that. So let me ask you this question, though, it's a question without an answer. But if Ryan Johansson doesn't get hurt, he plays in that final against Pittsburgh, which there were lots of key sort of, you know, moments where that series, you know, went back and forth and might have turned. If Ryan Johansson's healthy, did the Preds win that series?
Well, I don't want to give away too much because, obviously, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag on this. But he actually, and I will just say this, and we'll get on to what you guys have been writing at The Athletic about this playoff format. He told me it is without a doubt, and there was no hesitation in his voice, it's the best hockey he's ever played was in that playoff run, that 2017 from Chicago to St. Louis in Anaheim. He said that stretch was the best hockey he's ever played in his life, and he talked about it. His confidence was sky high, and so you'll hear all that. To answer it, I don't know. Certainly, it would have made a huge difference. Would it have been enough? Unfortunately, we'll never find out, Scott. I wish I knew the answer to that, but it's true. A great question.
Yeah.
What?
Well,
do you...
and I think just to, I think Ryan, I think Ryan's, I don't, I think he, that is, thus far in his career, that's Ryan Johansson hockey, that spring of 17. And that's, you know, see if we can, you know, if he can get back to that point this, later this summer, I mean, who knows? But no, I would agree with Ryan wholeheartedly that he was a beast. So.
I want to ask you this first. If it was up to you, which format do you prefer? Would you rather it be 24 teams that get in or 20 teams, and why?
Yeah, no, I'm all for, I completely get the notion of the 24 team grid, and I like the symmetry of it. I like, you know, whether you go into four separate cities, or I know that now people are, you know, the Gary Bettman, I think, you know, even acknowledged it, you know, could you, maybe it's two cities with 12 teams. I like the symmetry of it. I know some people are like, well, you know, do Montreal and Chicago deserve to be in? You know, I don't know. What's deserve? Like, to me, you can't get caught up in, you know, in the, well, somehow, you know, that your, you know, sensibilities are offended by it. I like the symmetry of it. I like the idea of, and I think this, you know, one of the things they have been discussing is how do you get teams back up to speed, which means you have to play games. I don't think you can go right to, from some sort of training camp situation to elimination style games. So you have to have some sort of round robin, which I think is what they've looked at. If you played five games, because you're not traveling, you can do it fairly quickly. And then it sets up this, you know, the really interesting part for me is if you, you know, let's call it four divisions, the top two teams get a bye, and then you play two out of three with the third place team playing the sixth and the fourth playing the fifth. You'd have to account for what happens in those round robin games and somehow smash it all together with, you know, where you were at in the regular season so that you don't just toss 70 games out the window. But I like that idea, and I don't mind a two of three. Listen, people forget if you're old, like, you know, if you're old, you go back and there were two of three opening round playoff series back in the day in the NHL. So we're not making stuff up out of thin air. There is some history with that. And then you can go into a traditional four round, 16 teams, four rounds, presumably best of seven, and away you go. And I like it that way. I like the 24 teams. And I think it's healthy to have, you know, like Buffalo shouldn't be in. Okay, let's agree on that. Anaheim shouldn't be in. But I think, okay, you can argue Chicago and Montreal, which would be the 12th place teams percentage-wise in each conference. But I'm okay with that. And, you know, I think it's, you know, normal's a relative term. And I'm okay with this kind of normal and see what happens.
How much do you think the layoff and whatever this timetable is, whatever – it looks like when they resume play, and we're talking about resuming and doing a playoff, you know, playoffs right away. But, you know, they're going to have to build up to that. So how do you think how is the play going to be affected in your mind? I mean, this is truly, we always say it's wide open in hockey, right? That's what we love about the Stanley Cup playoffs because of all the upsets. It's not chalk to the finish line. That's under normal circumstances. What about under these circumstances? You want to talk about throwing at a dartboard. How do you think it's going to affect the play in your mind?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And honestly, it's exciting. You know, I think this is the whole point of, you know, why, you know, it's important on a whole bunch of levels, I think, that sport continue to try and sort through and find a way to come back. Because, listen, what we've all gone through is, you know, unparalleled, really, certainly in, you know, in a century. So it is exciting to contemplate what might happen with the NHL. And I know when talking to players and coaches along during this pause, there is a level of excitement because of the unknown, but also because this would be unprecedented in the fact that when teams come back, And whatever the lead up is, whatever the training camp, whatever the round robin, when you start to play elimination games, for the most part, every team is going to be 100% healthy, right? Unless somebody, you know, listen, if something happens during training camp or in a round robin game, okay. But in theory, this would be the healthiest playoff teams will have been maybe forever. And I remember Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby when they first were doing Zoom calls early on. Like, the level of play, I think, has the potential. Mark Giordano, actually, the captain of the Flames in Calgary, I think he was the one. He was like, this could be the greatest playoff ever. And I might be paraphrasing him, but I share that sentiment. I think the level of hockey has the potential to be outstanding. It's going to look different. It's going to sound different. That, you know, to me, those are side issues. I think the actual hockey itself has the potential to be outstanding because teams aren't going to be dragging themselves into the first round or the conference final or whatever. I think about that. You know, go back to Nashville in 17, and what was that team like? Never mind Ryan Johansson. Like, think about people, how battered they were when the Preds started to play the Penguins in the final. I think that dynamic will be completely different this summer, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
We're talking to Scott Burnside from The Athletic, and he and his colleagues have written a series of articles as the league continues to have discussions to try to restart play here. And Scott, Dom Lucision, your colleague, made a really good point in arguing the 24-team format versus the 20-team format. And he basically said that if you take a look at Montreal and Chicago in particular, there was virtually no way they were going to make the playoffs to begin with. And in this format, because, as you just mentioned, everybody's healthy, everybody's hitting the restart, there's actually a decent chance that they could pull an upset in a 2 out of 3 where maybe a goalie plays 2 great games and you advance. And so he's saying they should be careful with who they allow in the tournament because that's what could mess with the integrity of the season.
Yeah, I mean, okay, you know, I understand that part of it. I would take the opposite view, and in here, I was had good day radio hit out of Montreal yesterday, because of course Canadians fans are like, oh, okay, you know, like, and so let's say there's 24 teams, Boston, Tampa are going to get they're going to get a bye, and Don did a nice projection on what might happen in a 5-game round robin, so he created these standings. Going into a best 2 out of 3. So how much fun would this be? Toronto plays the Montreal Canadiens, best 2 out of 3. They haven't played each other in the playoffs, I want to say 1979. I think that's the last time the two original six teams played in the playoffs. And of course Montreal's going to win that series, right? Because it's the Leafs. Of course they're going to win best 2 out of 3. Carey Price is going to pitch back-to-back shutouts, and it will destroy, you know, whatever is left of the Leaf Nation's soul. But so, okay, would that suck for the Leafs? Yes, it would. But, honestly, if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Florida Panthers, whoever plays Montreal in this kind of setup, in a best 2 out of 3, if you can't win 2 of 3 games against a very average Montreal team, I'm sorry. I have zero sympathy for you. And let's talk about Chicago. Chicago's not a very good team. Both Montreal and Chicago were sellers at the trade deadline, right? Robin Leonard goes off to Vegas. You know, Chicago's not very good. Okay, so now what happens if, and I'm using Don's projections here again, so they play the Dallas Stars, let's say, in a best of 3, the Preds and the Jets, according to this model. How cool would that be, just as an aside? Jets, Preds, best 2 out of 3? I would watch that all day long. But let's say Dallas and Chicago go at it. That's 2 out of 3. Listen, Dallas is a good hockey team. But if you can't beat Chicago in a 2 out of 3, I am sorry. I have zero sympathy for you. And you just move on. So, you know, I understand that. No, I understand that. And I understand there are actually players who prefer a 20 team basically to keep Carey Price and the Blackhawks out. Okay, I get that. I believe then the Rangers and Arizona and Chicago would be the two teams out in the West. If you went down to 20. But you know what? I just don't have any sympathy. If you can't find a way in a very, I get it short, 2 out of 3, Carey Price could do that in a heartbeat. Corey Crawford, maybe he can do the same thing for the Blackhawks. Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, yes, take nothing for granted. But you know what? I'm okay. I'm okay with that kind of, you know, vagary if you have a very short series. I get its possibility, and I'm okay with it.
Okay, so let's go to the 2014 thing, because I think there's probably some Predator fans that are still in a wait and see. Maybe they haven't really delved into this yet. They're waiting to get the official word, but this could be educational for them, because you hinted at a couple of the teams they potentially could play. So you have Minnesota leaves the Central. They go into the Pacific to allow for six teams in each division in this 2014 format. So the rest of the Central Division is together in some city, right? This would be either maybe Minneapolis, Dallas, Las Vegas, something like that. You would play each team
I'm lobbying for Decatur, Georgia, by the way. So anyway, go ahead.
Decatur, Georgia. Okay. That's an easy drive for us, right? So you would play each game, and these games in the round robin, right, Scott, would count, right, towards the standings and towards the seeding eventually in this little 16 tournament that you're going to play to try to get out of your division. True?
Correct. Yeah, that's my understanding of one of the models they've looked at. And, you know, one of the question is, which is, you know, the return to play committee is, they're sorting through all this kind of stuff, but, you know, you have to have a mechanism where you are playing these games, which have some meaning, but I don't think it's fair to eliminate teams based on this round robin. I saw, you know, someone else I saw suggested, well, if you do this round robin, and then you just knock the bottom two teams out, and now you start with your traditional 16 team playoff. I don't think that's fair, because if you are right, if you're a Colorado or a St. Louis or Tampa or Boston, the top two teams in the East, you know, those round robin games don't mean if you're not, you know, like, because you're locked into it. So maybe you're resting some of your players. You've got an expanded roster. So, you know, maybe those top teams are treating these games differently than the teams at the bottom of this grid, right?
And that could be a factor.
So that's why I think, of course. Like, if I'm Tampa or Boston, right, is Tuukka Rask playing five round robin games? No. Or Andre Vasilevsky? No. That's not going to happen. So if I'm John Cooper, I sit down with my staff and with the goaltending and say, okay, you know, especially because, you know, my sense of what the schedule would look like, because there's no travel, you're going to play these games in a, you know, it's going to be a fairly accelerated rate. So you may play, and again, I don't know the schedule, but let's call it three games in four nights, or you're going to play five games over the course of 8 days or 9 days, whatever it is. Yeah. Why would you have Vasilevsky, unless he's determined to play five games, why would you have him in goal? So you're not going to do that. But, you know, I think it's important then, you've got to incorporate the regular season because teams play different numbers of games. So I assume you have to probably do it by point, the winning percentage. So, but then that's why you go into that, the best two out of three. You could, in theory, go three out of five in a play-in round, but I think that takes too much time. So go two out of three and see what happens. So to your point, like I would, you know, the Preds are in, they end up in, say, fourth place in the Central grouping.
So Scott, let's back up for people that maybe haven't looked.
Yeah.
And so the Blues and the Avalanche, in some order, would be virtual locks to get the bye into the round of 16. They wouldn't have to play the two out of three. So they're going to wait and see who wins the little two out of threes in the remaining four teams. So let's just say it's the Stars that finished third, although they were fading at the break and the Nashville was actually catching up and maybe it wasn't a lock. But let's say the Stars hang on to three. So it's the Stars as the three against the Blackhawks, number six. And then the four versus five would be the Predators and the Jets. So the winners, let's say the Predators beat the Jets two out of three, they would advance and play either the Blues or the Avalanche, and the winner of the Stars-Blackhawks series would play the Blues in the matchup. Then you start your playoff series as we know it, right? The 16 teams are left.
Right. Yeah, that would be my understanding of it. And, you know, again, timing, and I've seen some people say, well, would you go then? So once you get down to 16, would you go to best of five, depending on the schedule? Listen, the NHL's got lots of runway here, right? Like, this is the NHL, I think, I think it's okay to play four rounds of seven once you get down to your 16 teams, as you would every spring, because this doesn't have to be done by Labor Day, right? I mean, the NHL is not going to start the 2020-21 season on time, right? That's just not going to happen. And Gary Bettman's been very clear about that. May not start till December. I've heard it could even go into January. They're still determined to play 82 games, but they want to give themselves as much time as possible for things to get back to as normal as possible, which might mean having fans in the stadium or arenas sometime during next season. So this whole playoff thing can start in late July. There isn't an urgency to get this done. So you don't have to rush through it once you get everything in place. So that's why I would think four rounds of best of seven, that makes sense to me, and I think that's what people are looking at.
I'm talking to Scott Burnside from The Athletic, and I guess my whole thing in all of this, and I know it's a unique time and you have to do something if you want to finish out the season, however that looks, but I also don't want a scenario where you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, where it's you may delay next season, but how is it going to hurt next season? Are you going to rush through an off season where GMs aren't going to be able to have the due diligence to prepare their teams and sign guys or re-sign guys? You know, what is that aspect of it going to look like? That's the thing that concerns me a little bit.
Yeah, no, and I think all those things, you know, because it's like a series of dominoes, right? I mean, you're talking about doing something completely, you know, out of the ordinary if you're talking about a playoff season that begins, you know, let's call it late in July and goes into the middle of September or whatever it is. So, yeah, but I do think that part of what has gone on is that the league and the players, they've worked very closely on this. My understanding is the players feel that they would need 55 days, roughly, so let's call it 2 months, between the awarding of the Stanley Cup and the start of the 2021 season. So I think there is agreement on that. I don't think the league is going to be rushing teams back into action. And in fact, I think, you know, because the evolving testing, a potential vaccine, all the things that are going to be necessary, not just to get 31 teams ready to play next season, but also the possibility that you could have fans in some form in these arenas. I don't think there's, you know, the league's not going to be pressuring the players to come back, too early. And in, by extension, then, my sense is that GMs are going to have the time to sign free agents. You know, listen, there's a whole range of stuff that's going to have to happen, right? You're going to have to settle on a salary cap. It's going to make life difficult for a lot of NHL teams, a lot of NHL GMs. It's going to make life difficult for a lot of free agents. You know, I think of guys like Alex Pietrangelo, the captain of the Blues, or Torrey Krug in Boston, or Taylor Hall in Arizona. I mean, those guys would have rightfully expected to be, you know, handsomely paid as UFAs if they decided to leave their current teams in a normal summer. Well, who knows what those numbers are going to look like, but they won't look like what they should. And, you know, that's just going to be life as well. But, again, I think what is promising is that our sense is that there's a lot of open dialogue between the players and the owners. This isn't like a labor discussion, which, of course, as we know, is filled with chaos when it comes to the NHL. My sense is that we're in new territory with the two sides really focused on how to make this work against just an unthinkable backdrop.
Scott, based on something you just said, could you see a scenario where there are more of these unrestricted free agents that look to be getting a big payday that they might elect to take a one-year deal either with their current team or somewhere else, but take more of a one-year prove-it deal, let all this play out, and then try and go after their big payday in the next offseason?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility. And, you know, again, the league and the players will have to, they're going to have to come up with arbitrary is not the right word, but they're going to have to come to an agreement on what the salary cap is going to look like. I mean, even if they come back and play and they're able to recoup some of the broadcast money, I mean, I've heard, you know, let's call it $500 million, give or take, if they're able to get back to playing and awarding a Stanley Cup, this is a league that is looking at a $1 billion loss if this season is washed away, the rest of the 1920 season. So they're going to have to put their heads together to come up with a salary cap that doesn't crush the system. You're right. There may be players who just say, you know what, and especially if you assume that you can get 82 games in a 2021 season, and then maybe, now you're back into a more, hopefully you're getting to a return to normalcy, in a normal being relative in 2 years' time. Yes, I think there is a possibility that you could see, maybe Taylor Hall says, you know what, I'm going to stay in Arizona, but I'm going to lock in for 1 year, I'm not staying for eight or whatever it is. Yes, and that could create a very interesting dynamic for a lot of teams, depending on where they're at in terms of their evolution. To be able to bring in a guy like a Taylor Hall or a Torrey Krug or Alex Pietrangelo, who might be looking for a one-year, spin with a team that's still got Stanley Cup aspirations, well, who knows? I think it could make for some very interesting negotiations once we get to whenever that free agency period would be, which, again, might be end of September or into October.
Scott, really appreciate the visit as always. You continue to be safe, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you here very soon down the road.
Anytime, guys.
All right, that is Scott Burnside from The Athletic. We will come back and hit on some of the things you just heard in that interview on the other side. ESPN 102.5, The Game. Coming up at high noon, Stanford Steve, Scott Van Pelt's sidekick on the late Sports Night, or Sports Center on ESPN Sports Night. Gosh. Boy, there's a...
Good job.
There's a blast from the past. Long plast and plaz.
Plast, past. Oh, you're all
nice.
Over the place.
I am all over the place. All right, guys, I'm going to go sleep. You guys take it from here. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's go. All right, I do want to pass this along. The Belmont Stakes, did you guys see this? They're going to run on June 20th without fans, and that is going to be the first leg of the Triple Crown. That's the first time that's ever happened in the sport.
That's going to be weird.
Right. Like, how crazy is that?
But
Belmont
cool.
Stakes is going to run on June 20th.
It'd be like watching a NASCAR race, though, on TV.
Yeah, but it's going to be weird to see the Belmont is the first stage of
it's
the
first,
Triple Crown,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It's going to be really strange, but nonetheless, they've announced that is indeed going to happen. So it looks like, and yet again, as we talk about things coming back, this is the path. It seems like next month, which, oh, by the way, guys, this is May, what is today, the 19th, right? 19th. We are 12 days away. We're going to be in less than 2 weeks. We're in June. And that's where I feel like really everything is kind of coming back around. That is kind of like that target month where I think really things are going to change in the sports landscape. So with that being said, let's segue right into what does that mean for hockey. So an in-depth conversation there with Scott Burnside. A lot to digest. So let's start with, I guess, let's focus in on what it would mean for the Central Division, what it would mean for the Predators kind of moving forward when indeed this thing comes back.
Yeah, so let's try to focus on only the Predators here, because we hit on a lot of issues. We talk about a lot of league-wide concerns and health concerns. Let's put all that aside just for now and focus on what it would take for the Predators in this new world for a summer to win the Stanley Cup. Okay? So let's assume that they let 24 teams in, which allow the Canadiens and the Blackhawks into the tournament. So now you have essentially four six-team divisions. The So somebody from the Central, because they're still in it, has to go to the Pacific. I'm not sure how they determine this, but the Wild leave the Central and they go into the Pacific. So forget about the Wild. So you have six teams in a pod. I'm not sure what city it's going to be. So let's say it's Decatur, Georgia, or whatever. Or for argument's sake, let's say it's Vegas. Okay, I don't know what city it's going to be, but you would these six teams would arrive in that city in their hub, and then you would have your own little six-team pod, right? The Blues, the Avalanche, the Stars, the Predators, the Jets, and the Blackhawks. This is what's being discussed. It has not been official yet, but this is what is gaining support, apparently, among the people that are going to eventually make this decision in the league. Because the Blues and the Avalanche are so far ahead of everybody else in the existing standings, they are virtual locks to get byes when the playoffs start. But as Scott said, they want to have some games that lead up to the playoffs. A, it's going to recapture some money, and B, it's going to allow the players to play some games that mean something. And so you're not just diving right in and playing playoff games when you haven't played in months. So, the six teams in the one building with no fans. The Predators are one of those six, and so they'll play a game, in theory, against the Blues, the Avalanche, the Stars, the Jets, and the Blackhawks. You'll play those games. They don't eliminate you. They count in the standings. You could even move up a notch in the standings. Let's say if you went 5-0, you could move up a little bit. But they're not going to eliminate you even if you go 0-5. So that's the round-robin part of it. And so that could change the standings a little bit.
Is
Are we clear on that so far?
Is this multiple games a day?
No. I think you would play five games in about 9 days, right? That's the window, because you want to, this is in theory, right? You want to get these done in a reasonable amount of time so you can get to the playoffs.
Okay.
That sound okay? Five games in about 8 or 9 days?
Well, that would
not two
you
games
would have
in a
to
day.
Double up. Not one team playing two games in a day. I'm saying,
nobody's playing two games in a day.
Okay, I'm just trying to do the math of five or six games in 8 or 9 days. So the overlap, you would think.
Yeah, you could play. So let's say we have a week, right? We start on Monday.
All right.
Predators play the Blues on Monday. They play the Avalanche on Tuesday. You have Wednesday off. Then on Thursday, the Predators will play the Jets. On Friday, they'll play the Blackhawks. Then they have Saturday off, and then on Sunday, they'll play the Stars.
Right, but
and
what about all the other teams?
Round robin.
They have to get their game. I mean, so.
So you're asking, are there multiple games?
Yeah, you would
at the
you would play more. Yeah,
yes.
In the facility.
That's
yeah,
what
oh,
I'm
absolutely.
Saying.
Yeah,
that's
you
what
would
I'm
play
we're
at least
talking
two
about
games
like,
a day.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm getting at. Like, they would be playing two games a day in a facility, right?
Oh, at least, yeah,
okay.
Maybe sometimes three. I'm saying I don't know how well, I haven't done the math on how many games you would have to play per day, right, and how many they would want to play per day.
Well, that's why
but
like
no
a
team
city
is going to play two games in a day.
No. That's what I was getting at. Is this is going to be something that you're just going to have the facility you're just going to have it doing games. You get done, you wait till the locker rooms clear out, the next teams come in, you do the Zamboni, and away you go. Here's game number two, right? I mean, that in a day.
Right.
Okay.
And that's why some of these cities that might have more than one building you could play in
Bingo.
And still televise the game might come in handy for time purposes. But that's what they'd have to figure out. So let's put the logistics aside just so people know what the path to the championship would be. So now after you play those five
games.
Well,
by the way, though, I think that's interesting, that setup, honestly.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're going to learn a lot in the coming weeks because they've been trying to work on this, and they still may not have all of the details finished yet, which is why you haven't heard anything officially yet. So now, in theory, you've played your five games, and now you have your final regular season standings. Okay, so let's say that the Blues maintain first place, the Avalanche maintain second place, the Stars hang on for third, the Predators are fourth, the Jets are fifth, and the Blackhawks are sixth. Now, that's not set in stone, right? That depends on how they do in these games we just mentioned. So now, the Blues and the Avalanche have the bye into the 16-team format that we're all accustomed to, right? But now we got to figure out who wins the playoff or the play-in games to get to those last spots. Okay, so you have a 2 out of 3 series with the 3 seed Stars against the 6 seed Blackhawks, 2 out of 3. You also have the Predators playing the Jets in a 2 out of 3. So basically, the Predators' first-round opponent, per se, in the play-in, 2 out of 3, is either going to be the Jets or the Blackhawks, in all probability, right? And it's the highest probability is the Jets. Yeah, 3 would play 6. So the Predators would have to get to third. They would have to pass the Stars in the standings, and they're going to go into this thing behind in points to the Stars, right? Even though the Stars were really fading, remember the Predators beat them twice. Mm-hmm. How far behind are they to the Stars? How many points?
Well, I was looking at the 6 win percentages because in this Athletic article, they do, they've done like percentages of what it would, and basically the Stars and the Predators have the same percentage, whether it's playoffs, with the play-in. They were like, I think Stars were 61% and the Predators were 60%.
Right, right. And that's projecting what would happen in these 5
Correct.
Games and
Correct.
How that would change the standings. But what that basically means is both the Stars and the Predators are going to have to win a 2 out of 3 just to get to the 16-team playoffs, right? So let's go back to the Predators. You've got your 2 out of 3 matchup. It's likely going to be the Jets, most probably, but it could be the Blackhawks. I guess in some way, maybe it could be the Stars. I would doubt it, though. So it's Predators, Jets, 2 out of 3. If you win that, then you're going to be matched up. The 4 versus 5 would play either the Blues or the Avalanche in the next round in a best-out-of-7, right, in what we know traditionally as the first round of the playoffs. So you got to win a 2 out of 3 against the Jets, which is no walk in the park, just to get a chance to play two of the biggest juggernauts in the league, the Blues or the Avalanche. But as we know, and we've been talking about a lot, the 8 seed can beat the 1 seed, right? So that's what you have ahead of you.
Before.
Yeah. And so if you win that series, you would advance to the second round of the playoffs, and you would play the winner of the Avalanche. Let's say the Predators play the Blues, right? If the Predators play the Blues, then if they beat the Blues, they would play the winner of the Avalanche against the winner of the Stars and the Blackhawks. Okay.
Just for people out there listening, okay? Just these are some questions that I think they may have. Because of the unusual circumstances, because of what we're talking about, are we talking about basically these divisions are just going to play each other out and come out and your conference finals and each conference will be basically who comes out of each division?
Yes. So basically, it's you have to win a 6-team tournament amongst the Central Division teams to advance, right?
The reason I bring that up is because the wild card teams can play in it. You know, they could play in it. The wild card team could be playing the Pacific. You know, so in other words,
no,
there's not going to be
any. That does not happen.
Right,
in this.
That is not happening.
No,
in
because
this.
Remember,
be
you're
division
all this
by
is
division.
All.
You're just
in
to
theory,
limit
this is all transpiring in one city, right? This is all happening in one city. Let's say it's Vegas, right? So you got to win your 2 out of 3. Then you would have to be fortunate enough to beat 2 teams in a best-of-7 to win the Central Division pod. So now you're in. Now you move on, and you would play the winner of the Pacific Division.
Okay,
pod,
hang on.
The winner of that tournament, right? Now where that is, I don't know.
Let me ask a question because this is where it's confusing because there's the four city pod and the 2 cities and I've seen Vegas and Columbus, so this is where I guess I'm confused now. So what you're talking about is the Central Division pod that you've laid out that would be in a Pacific Division city. So you're keeping everything.
Not necessarily. I don't know where they're gonna play. There's been a lot of speculation.
Why would you just have one of them?
In theory,
as a home
you just
team.
Play in one city.
This is what I so there's not going to be fans, so why not have the Pacific play in Vegas, have the Central play in Minnesota since everybody keeps bringing up Minnesota?
From what I've read on that, it's because they don't want Minnesota to have the advantage of they get to go back to their houses.
But remember, the Minnesota has been moved.
Right. Minnesota's moved into the Pacific.
It's out of the Central into the Pacific.
So it would have to be somewhere else. But why not just put them in a place where, you know, there's no fans, so there's no advantage. So is it simply just so they don't go home? You want everybody to basically be out on the road?
The point is that has not been determined. In any of the articles, they have not named the cities. It's been
Let me ask you something. What makes more sense to you? I'm just asking your opinions. What makes more sense to you guys? Would you put it in a location in one of the hubs, or would you have the hubs be another division? In other words, nobody's ever played in their arena.
Yeah,
well, I would think you'd want to keep it, to where the teams wouldn't have to travel too far from their region to wherever the hub is. So it makes sense that the six teams from the Central could play in Minnesota, Minnesota is not in the tournament.
I guess
in that particular pod, Minnesota would be playing in the Pacific, according to this.
Is there an advantage? This is actually a question I'm asking. Is there an advantage for Minnesota? A little bit, because they know that how the ice is in that building. They know how the puck bounces off the boards.
Right.
There's certain little things that they probably have
little nuances about an arena. Sure.
Yeah.
And their rink, no doubt.
So I guess because I've read too, and this is based on the Athletic article that has the division pods, but I've seen today the idea of doing 2 12 team pods, basically an east and a west. Columbus would have the east, Vegas would have the west. What about that? I mean, do we like that idea, or do we like it better of having it more by division?
Well,
that's what I'm asking.
I guess
like
under
you
that,
have to...
you could crisscross the teams, I guess, between the two divisions in the west.
You have to be uniform. You can't have the Central playing at Minnesota, but Minnesota's in the Pacific, but have the Pacific playing in Vegas. You know what I mean? It has to be uniform. Either you're going to do it at somebody's home arena, or you're not. And that goes for all four hubs, right? Like, you can't do it with one and not with the other, in my opinion. Like,
You would like to keep it in a neutral site.
No, I didn't say that. I said I believe you have to be uniform about it. Everybody has to be doing the same thing. Either nobody is playing in a home rink, or every hub is at somebody's home rink.
Okay, so there's a host team.
Either everybody's got a host
team
in
all
the hubs,
pods or no
or
pods.
Nobody
yeah,
has
it.
Got a – you see, that
yeah,
you
that
can't
makes
have
sense.
Vegas hosting the Pacific and Minnesota hosting the Central, but yet Minnesota's in the Pacific.
Well, and couldn't you do it this way? So let's say that Minnesota – we'll go back to Minnesota. That's the Central Division hub, but they've agreed they're going to use the XL Energy Center and the Target Center. So you could say, all right, the Wild have to play at the Target Center because then there's no advantage. They don't know the nuances of XL or don't have the nuances of XL. So they got to play in an arena that they usually don't play at, and they have to stay in a hotel like everybody else. They can't just go back and forth to home. Doesn't that eliminate –
Who monitors that? Who's in charge of that?
It's a good point. You got to put somebody in charge
of it. You want to put manpower on that in a pandemic? You want to put manpower on – making sure home watch, make sure people don't sneak away and go
home. That's the thing.
I mean, you're going to have somebody monitoring anyway.
And then I think there would be a lot of people asking the question, well, why does this team get to play at home and they get to go home and see their families and then none of us get to do that? All of us have to sit in these hotels for weeks, months, depending on how well our team does. I think that's a fair question to be thrown out there. So I don't know how it's going to end up. I was just trying to basically say this is what it would take for the Predators to win the Stanley Cup. They would have to win a 2 out of 3 and then win 4 best of 7. So it's even a further journey than normally what it would take to win the Stanley Cup. Not only do you have to win the 4 best of 7 that you always do, but you now have to win an additional 2 out of 3 to get it started. So you might have to think about this murderer's row. But when we know upsets are going to happen, especially in a 2 out of 3, it's even more likely that a goalie could have 2 great games and the seeding would get all screwed up here. But in theory, the Predators would have to beat possibly the Jets, then the Blues, then the Avalanche, then the winner of the Pacific, let's say that's the Golden Knights, and then the winner of the East, let's say that's the Bruins or the Lightning. So that's a daunting task. But we know that especially with the randomness of the hockey to begin with, and then this special thing where everybody's fresh, everybody gets to hit the restart button, there's no telling who the hottest teams will be coming out of this thing.
Which is why I asked that to Scott, because, I mean, none of us know the answer, but it is going to affect play. I mean, there's just going to be either a team that was playing really, really good hockey either at that stretch or the whole season to that point and is going to come back different, or a team that's just been kind of muddling along the whole year and haven't been great, haven't been too high, haven't been too low, just kind of there, and they're going to come out on fire. I mean, that's just going to happen.
Kind of is what it is, though.
Yeah.
I mean, well,
take the
Blue Jackets
anyway. It's not really
the Blue
during
Jackets,
these times.
The Blue Jackets were decimated with injuries. Seth Jones was out, and they had a long list of guys. Now, in theory, just about every single one of those guys will be back. So that'll be a completely different team. And then let's just take the momentum of the season, right? Whatever that thing is that has a team clicking on all cylinders. I don't know if the Predators were all the way there, but the Predators had some reasonable amount of momentum going into the break. You felt better about their outlook. Meanwhile, the Stars had completely gone into the ditch. Remember, they had really struggled going into that. But now here we are, fast forward 3 months. Who's to say that anybody has any momentum? Like the Philadelphia Flyers were on a roll. I mean, they're unbelievable roll. They were the Cinderella story. They weren't supposed to be up there at all, but they had a, you know, they were completely on fire. Now what happens when you hit the reset button?
There's no way to predict that. There's no way to know.
And it could be fun. I mean, it could be a lot of fun.
It could be fun, and it could have coaches and fan bases pulling their hair out. Like, what happened to our team?
Sure. You know? I mean, but you it's what you have to have. It's what you have to do. And I've been saying all along that whatever they come up with, just I want to make sure that the playoffs are as competitive and entertaining as possible. And if this is the best way to do that, then do that. Then that's what you have to do. And you may risk getting a team that was way, 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 way out of it, and then all of a sudden they jump back into it, and that creates some entertainment and excitement.
Would you say the Boston Bruins were having a pretty special regular season when the stoppage happened?
Yeah.
Yes.
They could come out of this and just look flat as can be. Just look like a totally different team.
They could look like Tampa last year.
Yeah.
Well, and those teams
swept by Columbus.
Yeah. And that could happen. You could argue that happens every year anyway, like it happened to the Lightning last year. But also consider this. You know, you're the Bruins. You use them. You're going to face a team for your first playoff game that has just won a 2 out of 3, right? So they're going to come in with some momentum and having won a couple of games and feeling good about themselves. It could be the Canadiens, right? Let's say it's the Canadiens who pull off a big upset of the Maple Leafs, and now they're playing the Bruins. Maybe that's what the Bruins want. Or it could be the Rangers or somebody like that. But you see what I'm saying. You're going to play a team that has already got a little chemistry, a little mojo going, because they've won some very important high-stakes games.
I think we're going to get some more answers to these questions here in the very, very near future. I really do. As we talked about yesterday and we've talked some today, I just think time is ticking, and I think next month is going to be the key month for I would say closure on a lot of these sports. We'll get closure on what their plan is. I definitely think sometime next month we're going to get closure on these sports on what their plan is. We're going to know. We're not going to be sitting here speculating anymore. At least that's what I feel today.
Yeah.
I would hope so. I think the next week or two weeks at the most, 1 week at least, I think you'll start to have the picture become a little bit clearer. And, of course, always realizing that in a few weeks, if you have a real bad surge of cases, that it could all come to a halt at some point, and we pray that won't happen. But these are the kind of things they've been working on. Baseball has got their own thing, and plus they've got to get the financials on top of everything else. Basketball, I know they've been talking. They're opening facilities. They're having some individual training in a lot of cases. So they've got a couple more weeks to figure out what their format is going to be. I have not read a lot of possible scenarios on how they're doing it, if they're doing 24 teams or 20 teams or whatever, and what kind of regular season they're going to do before they actually start the playoffs. Like, here's something to consider. Let's say you're John Hines and you've got these five round-robin games. You know, even if you go 0-5, you're still in the tournament, right? You still got to win a 2 out of 3, and then you got to win 4 best of 7. Let's say Pecorine, with the fresh start, plays 3 really good games. UC Soros doesn't play quite as well. Who do you start in game 1 of the best of 3? Right? These are all decisions that every team is going to have to make, right? But that would be one that would come to mind for Nashville, is would a fresh Pecorine all of a sudden be rejuvenated and look a lot more like the Pecorine we know? And so who do you trust playing in the playoff games? These are really tough decisions that would have to be made, and then it's only 2 out of 3. If you make the wrong decision, you're out.
Yep. We'll come back, start the third hour. Stanford Steve from ESPN. We'll do that next on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.